Van Giovanni here for Cruel Classics. This is the podcast where we play fan-selected clips, highlights, and the best moments of the past 14 years of the Adam Carolla Show and all 3,500-plus episodes. If you like this podcast, make sure to subscribe to the Cruel Classics feed. It's a separate podcast feed where we play a bonus episode every Sunday, sometimes connected to the episode that aired on Saturday, sometimes not. This weekend we bring you three episodes, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for Memorial Day, with something special we've never done before. If you'd like to see in-studio video for some of these moments, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@AdamCarollaCorner. Coming up first today, we have a listener request. This one is from Todd H. Todd writes, I'd like to hear the clip of the one time Larry Miller won the hypothetical road trip game. Up until a few weeks ago, I had no idea what the time frame might be, but the start of one of the recent clips, episode 1204 on May 6th, Brian mentioned that Larry was coming off a dominating performance. Not sure if that helped you narrow it down. Thanks, Todd. Well, Todd, that may be an unrelated episode, or it may be a second time he won that we all don't remember. It's odd to find out what he might be referencing. Maybe it's an episode where Adam wasn't present. I'll do some more research and try to find out for you what that actually specifically was about. Maybe he got very close. The time that Larry actually first won was on Adam Carolla Show episode 1101, featuring Larry Miller, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This was from June of 2013. We played it before and announced the reason we played it afterwards as some sort of surprise, but I think we played it once or twice, so there's no reason to pretend. This is the one where he wins. You know what's going to happen. It's hilarious.
Hypothetical road trip, Larry Miller. You ready?
I'm so ready and happy to be back. Go ahead.
All right.
The game where there are no wrong answers.
We're driving to Florida!
All right. Oh, boy.
I've always liked hypothetical road trip,
Larry,
but I'm so ready now.
It's been a Good. While. I think
it's
you're
been 14 months.
You think you're up to it?
The night I cracked my head open, I was just on your show.
Really?
That's right. And you know what? I am back now for a hypothetical road trip, and it will show you and you two and everyone on the other side of the windows how strong I've gotten, how good my head is, and how ready I am. Please continue.
Now, this is the trip. This is the hypothetical road trip. It started many years ago on the radio show when you leave Santa Monica Pier and you go to Epcot Center in Florida, and you have to drive with this individual. I believe the first guy was ponytail pulled through the back of the hat guy versus way too much turquoise guy or one of these. Those guys are just fucking into turquoise. By the way, if you just pick a rock that you decide that you're in love with, something's wrong with you, male or female. Yeah. Look, you're redoing your bathroom and kitchen and you want a nice granite countertop. I'm not going to hold that against you. But when you just figure out that a geode or opal or like you figure out something that becomes your stone.
It's lapis lazuli. It's my stone.
Yeah, and you just never stop talking about it and displaying it on belt buckles and on top of the, you know, cowboy hats and things like this. Something's up, right?
Yeah, and by the way, whenever they say this used to be a holy stone for Indians,
right,
I always
right.
want to say, and where are they now?
How'd that go? Did that work out? Yeah, whenever they say, you know, the ancient Egyptians believed. Yeah, let's examine the word belief. Because there's guys that believe that, you know, rhino tusk makes your dick wider, but it doesn't make them geniuses. Makes them assholes.
They're the same guys who believed that, you know, if we just follow them into the Red Sea on these chariots,
right.
it'll all work out.
Right. All right. So we get started here.
Go ahead.
We have some new listeners in the last year. We should probably point out that Larry was never really great.
His batting average was not great.
Not great at this game, but
I knew that one or two of you would bring up that the record has been spotty. But you know what? I refuse to hear that. And
right.
I refuse to accept it. I am ready. You know what? Just begin the game, Adam.
All right.
And you know what? You'll see what I can do.
Okay. All right. Drives with seat reclined guy. You know the guy? These are the guys. You have to find these guys. Here's where these guys live. These guys live on the 110 between the 101 and the 105 freeway. It's a nice stretch that cuts right through sort of South Central and downtown and Watts and stuff like that. And whenever we drive home from the airport, I play the let's see if we can spot a car that's under $500 game, and we always spot three or four just in that one stretch. But guys who drive in the fully reclined position or guy, and I've been on a flight with this guy recently, carries the yoga mat with him on a like literally has a yoga mat caddy. Like a shoulder harness.
Around his shoulder.
Yes. Like he's some sort of like the world's gayest archer.
How sad for you that you've begun with this. Because it's so obvious. This is an easy one. Easy for me. Mm-hmm. Difficult for you. Number one, I would never drive anywhere, be anywhere, walk anywhere with the person holding the yoga mat. That's just as bad as the people who have the turquoise stones. I would never, ever be with that person, let alone on a cross-country drive on the yoga mat. I would always be with the guy who wants to drive with the seat tipped back because the chances are, A, he's very fat, and B, he also smokes gigantic cigars as he's leaned back in the seat, so he'll have an extra cigar. So this is so easy that it's not even worth calling it easy again. Okay. I would never be with the guy who carries the yoga mat, and I would always be with the guy who has a cigar as fat as his neck.
All right. That's right, Larry. This coma served you well, my friend.
That's amazing.
You literally knocked some sense into yourself. Well, he was riding a streak, people, of 0 for 450, 500.
It was embarrassing.
He missed almost every one, even ones where I said, just guess. I mean, it's literally coin tosses.
But as it turns
unbelievable.
Out, I was right in saying how good I'd gotten.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Nice
well,
work.
Let's keep going
Enjoy
here.
Less.
You know what? Let's do that. Let's just
All
keep
right.
going.
Let's keep going. Fat Al Sharpton or skinny Al Sharpton?
Oh, again.
Skinny Al Sharpton. I'm looking at pictures of both of them. You can go to adamcarolla.com. These are both horrifically scary.
Yeah, that's no good. By the way, the skinny one really, really looks like that head was just photoshopped on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't look like a human being.
He's a hero. He stands by the Tuala, what's her name? Isn't it? Tawana Brawley thing. That he does stand by the way, even though it turned out to be a hoax.
It's amazing that some people can look. The fat one looks a lot better. But let me answer this then.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, but
if you're looking to become a leader in a certain community, is that the look?
Which one are you talking about?
I'm looking at the fat one on the right with, like, the huge medallion
and the
jogging suits and the camel toe. Like, I just – it's tough to present yourself. Here is my look. I will look – here's what I'll look like. I will take a hot iron to my hair. I'll grow some pork chop sideburns. I will then shape. I'll eat some pork chops then after I grow that out. I just can't believe that. Look, I mean, it's so funny when you go, hey, I would like to lead this community. I would like. Is there a less credible look, I guess, is what I'm asking.
And by the way, ironically, the skinny one is about to eat a huge meal.
Right. He's got tortellini there. Yeah. Just the bloated James Brown with a medallion look and a camel toe. And when he stands up and goes, look, I want to talk about some important topics that are plaguing this community. Are you like, what? You like your hair? Look, it's a weird.
The yes men behind them should have said no.
Yes. Somebody should have said
no. By the
no
way,
to that.
Either one of those taken by a ship full of aliens,
right?
They will not attack Earth.
Right.
Nothing bad will happen
to
us because the commander will say, wrong planet.
Right.
But there is a legitimate question and a deep question here about which one of these I would like to drive cross-country with from Santa Monica Pier to Epcot Center in Florida. And once again, I'm not sorry for you on the second question, but I laugh. But to me, it's to laugh at. Because the obvious answer comma, Adam,
mm-hmm.
is what that I would pick neither. And that's right, neither. I would not go to cross country in a car with either because they're both, and this is something we haven't run into yet in this game, they're both grotesque.
Yeah.
They're really, there's no pleasure in driving, never mind across country. 100 yards would be impossible to either of these two. I have discovered the untruth of a question that assumes you'll see only truth in it. Therefore, I say neither.
Unbelievable. I thought for sure he wouldn't get that because
that was almost a trick question.
It was a trick question.
Jesus.
Wow.
You know what? Again, it's almost amazing. And to people who know this game well, they're finally happy.
Well,
that
there's a lot of money being lost right now.
Yeah, Vegas is taking a bath right now.
I'll be honest,
I've lost some myself. But how nice to know that the game, that the show, that you are finally seeing the depth of my responses. Do you have another one?
Yes, I do. Okay. Guy from Storage Wars or chick from Extreme Couponing?
This is a question that matters. This is a question that has...
I don't understand why they're not allowed to look into the storage unit. Why can't we?
Can
why
you imagine?
Can't we look into
they're
it?
Not the owner, technically, maybe at that point.
No, I know. There's some law, but it would seem.
Oh, can you imagine?
It's not. It's this Monty Hall running the storage facility. I mean, just fucking open the door up, and then we'll bid on what's in there. There's a motorboat in there. Oh, you'll get a few grand, and if there's nothing but a sack full of moths, you'll get not so much. Like what's the why? I know by law they can't do it, but I don't know what's a weird law, isn't it?
Maybe because if it was worthless, if they let people look in it, then there would be no bids on it. You'd be left with a lot of filled things with crap, or at least if they bought it for $200 and sight unseen, they're like, now it's your responsibility to clean the shit out.
I guess I don't know if there's we have to figure it out. Is there a law that says the guy, like when Paris Hilton, remember someone bought Paris Hilton's storage unit and found some like herpes medication or something in it a few years back, but they didn't even know it was Paris Hilton's until they bet on it.
It's hard to believe, but I haven't seen this show. What criteria do they use when deciding how much to bid? What are they told?
That's the whole thing. The guy you just have an instinct about what's behind door number three kind of thing. It's a weird...
They open the door and everyone just looks at it. No one's allowed to go in. They just kind of...
Open the door?
Yeah, they crane their necks and if they see a bunch of boxes and this one guy... It's like a bidding thing. One guy goes, $200. Okay, $200.
All right.
Wow. Later. You know what, though? The insects in those storage bins are weeping to get out.
Mm-hmm.
They're just ugly places. But let me get to the truth of the question here,
right?
If I may. Which human, which character would I rather drive cross-country with? The man who has that storage unit or...
He's going to buy that storage unit.
What? Mm-hmm. Either way, they're both so sick. Mm-hmm. But or, as you say, the woman who collects too many coupons.
Yes.
I have seen the coupon show,
mm-hmm.
and I have seen many of the women on the coupon show, many of the housewives on the coupon show. There are many of them, I would say a half to three quarters, who are very pretty, who are very pretty in a regular guy way, in like a me or any cameraman way, where you want to say, if you're a star or a governor, you shouldn't be with that woman. Mm-hmm. But if you do a couple of shows in Indianapolis and you go down to the hotel bar afterwards,
sure,
could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I would always like to see a woman who could be potentially pretty, and I would be happy to talk to her about her coupons because I don't know anything about coupons. I know plenty about coupons, but it would always give us something to talk to. This is an easy topic to open a discussion between a woman who may be very pretty and, well, me. Mm-hmm. So I would never ever want a guy who's even been near a storage unit to buy it or to sell it because he's as grotesque to me as the man who was going to buy it.
So you went the coupon.
Always the coupon woman.
Okay. Wow! 3 for 3.
Tremendous.
Great Larry Miller.
Let me just ask a simple question at this point. Enough said?
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right.
All right, that was Larry Miller back in 2013. Coming up next, we have Adam Carolla Show 1451 featuring John Mulaney, Matt Newcomb, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This one's from November of 2014. It's John working with Elliot Gould, ACE Award-winning guest. Not for a good reason, kind of.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Question. Do you ever hear from any of these ex-girlfriends of yours now that you're a big baller and you own the podcasting world? Doing a great job. I'm a big fan. Get it on. Thanks. Bye.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
No, I never hear from anybody. I think it would come up. It never comes up. Well, my prom date in high school died. So she's sort
there's
of,
one you're not going to hear
she's,
from.
She's off the list. John Mulaney is in studio. Mulaney is the name of the show. New episodes Sunday, 9:30 on Fox. Good to see you, John.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me, man.
John is going to be at the Wilbur Theater in Boston coming up November 20th. And, by the way, the 25th, which is no easy task because that's a big, beautiful theater. Funny, though, that's the theater I play when I go to Boston, and everyone else who's been through here in the last week and a half has been playing at the Wilbur Theater.
We're on the circuit.
In Boston. Yeah, great venue.
Great venue.
Are you from the Boston area?
No, my family is. My family's from Marblehead, Swampscott, Lynn, and Salem. We grew up in Chicago, though. My mom moved.
That's a morning team? The Boston metro area?
Yeah.
Say it like a radio announcer. Let me see if I can hear what those three towns sound like together.
Swampscott, Lynn, Marblehead, and Salem. Was that it?
Yeah, but
and
now
Beverly.
You got to say news and traffic at the top of the hour.
We cover Swampscott, Lynn, Beverly, and Salem, and Marblehead, and the outlying area.
All right.
News and traffic.
Look at a five. I better put you on the spot, man.
I was also, what's the other town? Danvers. That's it.
And
I was trying to incorporate as many as I could.
And do you go to college first? Do you do stand up first, or
I
you do it simultaneously?
I did stand up once before I went to college, but then I was doing sketch comedy, improv, and then started doing stand up again when I was like 19. So probably my sophomore year of college.
And you make it out. What college you go to?
Georgetown in D.C.
Oh, that sounds like a good one.
That was good.
Yeah,
it was good if you wanted to be in like international relations. If you're doing comedy, it was a waste.
Was there a plan? Did your dad have a plan? Did your parents have a plan?
No, there was no... I mean, my parents are both lawyers, so you could always say, I'm thinking of going to law school if you wanted to end the conversation. Because
mm-hmm.
it'd be like, oh, that's... Yeah, okay, that's good. Or I'm thinking of even taking the LSAT, right? Because
right.
that's a test. Mm. That's not even committing
sure.
to law school. That's committing to maybe taking a standardized test once. So,
Boy, I just had a very sad thought, but... Almost every one of my friends who I grew up with mm-hmm. in North Hollywood, nobody took SATs or LSATs mm-hmm. or pre-SATs. If they were taking a test, it was for a venereal disease.
Wow.
Like when they said, I'm going to go in and get tested, it was for something. Something was going up their urethra.
Yeah, they were getting swabbed.
That was the yeah. only kind of testing that anyone ever. They passed. They sailed through their whole life with only venereal related testing.
And that's untimed testing, too. That is untimed.
That's right.
Not
yes. So we were talking about this the other day about attorneys, and I kept saying, it's the only job in the world where people test and train and pass bars and do so much and then don't actually make a career out of it. You know,
right. You were saying for a lot of people it seems to be a backup.
Podiatry does not have that same ratio. So,
like you don't happen to have a podiatry degree the way people are like, you know,
no.
I happen to be a lawyer.
Yeah, no, hey, let me
I
look
run
at
a business or I do this. But
you step on an acorn? Let me look at that. What? But you're an executive.
Oh,
No.
I have
no.
a background in.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. But it doesn't happen with pilots. It doesn't happen in anything because you put so much time
and doctors.
Training. Yes, you
yes.
put so much.
Yes.
You put so much effort and so much education into something. But then I realized lawyers do it to satisfy their dads, oftentimes.
Interesting.
They want to get their dad, who's a lawyer, to sort of pay for school and get off their back. And thus, you have this super high percentage of people who get there. And also a lot of just get your law degree. You don't have to. You know, there's no podiatrist. Just get your podiatry degree.
It's good
you
don't have to look at feet. Use it. It's just good to know.
Yeah.
But really, how frequently does a law degree come in handy for people who aren't practicing law?
Well, I think in this town, all it does is give you the knowledge to go find, like, you better go talk to one of me if I'd gone a
right.
different path.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
They know enough to go talk to someone
they know
of their
it's like
ilk.
So
bad.
Would we. We'd know to, like, oh, you killed someone, you should talk to a criminal defense attorney.
Right.
You should find one of those.
But I now realize that so many people do it and don't practice it because I think they're just kind of trying to satisfy dad.
Yeah, and medical school is like when you're done. I have friends in their fellowship still, and they're like 35. Medical school is like 12 years. Law school's 3 years. You can do it and be done and still be in your 20s and go do whatever you
so
want.
So how far did you get with that?
With faking that I wanted to go to law school? I think I said it once my junior year of college. And then I was an intern at Comedy Central. I was doing a lot of things to hint that I wanted to just work in comedy. So I was living in New York and doing stand-up, and I had that talk before I graduated.
But you did graduate, which is better.
I did. I didn't want to go back. I was living in New York and just doing open mics. I really wanted to keep doing that, and I went back.
How'd you get the gig writing for SNL?
I auditioned for the show. They saw me on, like, Conan, on Late Night with Conan.
Doing stand-up.
Yeah, doing stand-up in, like, 08. And then I auditioned. They had a big audition with a bunch of us. And I went in. I was like, they have enough skinny white guys right now. I'm definitely not going to get this. So I'll just do stand-up and try to make it funny. And, they said no, but do you want to be a writer? And I said, yeah. I'd already been writing for a couple of their shows and here and there, you know.
Did that feel like rejection, or were you excited?
No, I was shocked that I got a job out of it. I really thought, like, okay, this will just be a weird story where I got to audition for Saturday Night Live, but there's no way anything's going to come out of it. I had just done a NACA, which is where you book stand-up gigs for colleges in the Midwest. I remember looking at, like, my list of NACA dates. I was like, oh, I'm going to make $600 this fall. I was so excited. And then I got a call to audition for Saturday Night Live. So it was actually interrupting my plans at that time.
By the way, won an Emmy for Outstanding Original Music and Lyrics for the Justin Timberlake Seth Meyers video. All right, just because everyone's been on hold for 1,000 years, we'll blow through a couple calls and then we'll get to news and we'll do all that. Hey, Matt.
Hey,
caller
guys,
Matt from Pennsylvania, 28.
Yeah, hi everyone. Big fan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a small business making handmade soaps.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some success locally at craft shows, and a few local businesses stock our products.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking to kind of step it up and turn it into a legitimate source of income.
Yeah.
And
what do you think this is, fucking Shark Tank? What the fuck do we know about soap? I wash my hands with you. You out?
Yeah, I'm out.
I'll give you nothing for half the company.
I'll not sodomize you for 50% of the company.
I offered that.
It would be great, just the one drunken, super rich guy who sat in the middle and shouted out insults.
I have a line of beef jerky that I'm looking to expand into the Midwest.
Yeah? Let me have a bite of that.
Yeah, here you go. Try it. It's delicious.
This tastes like bad pussy. This tastes like Marilyn Monroe's pussy 4 years after she was buried. Get this shit. Matter of fact, I need another fucking hit of Johnny Walker in order to get this fucking taste out of my mouth. This tastes like zombie cock. Here's your offer. I don't beat the shit out of you on camera. That's it.
The alternative.
That's as far as I go.
So no matter what, I'm going to beat up.
I will not put your glasses up your rectum.
Okay.
That is my promise to you. That's as far as I go.
You drive a hard bargain.
I want 90% of your company and 100% of your wife. I'll send her over and tell her to start sucking while I think on it.
It's really good beef jerky.
It would be just, I would watch that show. I would watch it anyway, but I still would like one super drunk and foul mouth
just off a
cajillionaire in the middle.
I'll give you $100,000 to hunt you like an animal.
The ultimate prey. Humans. You know what kind of jerky I want? Human flesh. I can already taste the dried, salted version of you already. And the guy goes, well, hold on. I want to talk about getting funding for an upstart. 10 seconds head start.
You stands there and goes, any other offers?
I want to talk about stock offering, and I pump my shotgun once. I go, it's now 7 seconds.
Better start running.
Start running, bitch. Matt? Hold on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So So can I say this? Has anyone handled a bar of just plain white soap, put it in their hands, had it lather up while they were standing in front of a sink with warm water running on their hands and went, is this all there is? This is it? There's got to be more. There's got to be more than this. How come it doesn't smell of honeysuckle? How come it doesn't look like it has the measles? Why isn't it? What
Why
is
don't
just
I see, yeah, rose petals inside?
What's with just soap shaped like a bar of soap? All it does is make suds in my hand and clean them.
Hey, I'm not exfoliating.
Yeah, why is there more to this than that?
There might be. We should let Matt now at least tell us what's special about his handmade soap.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
That's actually why I settled on soaps. It's something that you can get into with, you know, really low investment, and people love to pick things up that are fragranced or scented and smell them, you know, show their friends. So that's why people naturally come over.
Right. You know, mixed with incredible high shipping rates and super low melting temperatures, it seemed like the perfect business to get in. Do you know my ratio of picking up bars of soap in baskets, sniffing them once, and setting them back down versus purchasing said bar of soap? It's 200 million to zero. I pick it up, I give it one whiff, I set it down, and I walk to the next bat. It's a bushel. I put them in bushels.
Oh, way wicker.
Yeah. All right, Matt. So,
basically, I was looking for some insight from you because you've been involved in so many different projects. You know, what would you suggest on really getting a name out there? And
what's the name of the soap?
Junebug Soap Company.
What's it called?
Junebug Soap Company. It's
Junebug.
My daughter's nickname.
Aww.
Yep.
Oh, and you want to. You want to get the name out there? Well, I think you took a step in the direction by calling into this podcast. And, you know, I don't know. Look, every business is exactly the same. It's started making the soap, started going to the swap meets in the mornings, get up at 5 a.m. on Sunday, set up, started selling some stuff. Eventually, a local whatever was interested in, before you know it, a guy from the local Walmart came in and we sent him over. But I don't know what. Look, soap, booze, whatever the fuck we're talking about, just go out there, sell it. Unfortunately, there's a few laws involved with the booze, hence I've learned with the Mangria. But is there any shortcut for anything other than I make it?
Get out to people.
Be better.
People.
Yeah. First thing is be better than everyone else. And then secondly, just go do it, especially soap. All right. But I'm still I don't need exotic soap.
You may not be the target demo.
All right.
For his exotic soaps.
I'll take that as a compliment. Jesse?
Hey, Ace Man, what's happening?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I just want to say big fan. My wife cries every time during the candle scene of the hammer. And but I was curious what your thoughts were of trying to raise a family in a shitty place.
Well, I think people have been successfully doing that for long periods of time. Look at the Wayans brothers. I put a poster of the Wayans brothers up in my entry hall.
And say, do that.
And then do that thing where you slap it like you're Notre Dame and you're going out and play like champions, you know. I think there's always examples of people growing up in less than happy neighborhoods having great families. That's called the family. You get a good deadbolt and you all sit down for dinner every night and you impart your wisdom and values on your family.
Are you talking about the place you're calling from, Jesse, Turlock, California?
Yeah, and you guys have actually mentioned it, and I played that for my wife when you guys said you're in the road trip to life, you're in Turlock, and we just were like, great.
Well, first off, use it as incentive. How old are your kids?
3 and 19 months.
All right, so let's say by the time, because, you know, you don't remember the first 5 years of your life, really. Mm. I was in a place called Seacane, Pennsylvania until I was, I don't know, 5 or 6, but I don't have much of a memory other than, you know, violently being raped by a priest over and over again. I don't have much memory of that.
It didn't stick with you.
It didn't stick with me. The only memento I have of that is the prolapsed anus. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get on with my life. So why don't you make it a goal that by the time the, what, three-year-old?
Yes, sir.
Is entering the first grade, you guys would have flipped the house in Turlock and moved to a slightly better neighborhood. That'll give you 3 years.
Yeah, that job makes it difficult, but I hear what you're saying.
Mayor of Turlock?
I'm a medevac pilot.
Yeah, you can fly wherever you want.
Yeah, every day is a real estate scout for you.
That's right. Ooh, that place has got a pool.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a horrible motorcycle accident on the 5. Why are we going this way, Jerry? I'm just scouting some residential stuff. I want to see what the school system is.
Open house down the way.
That's right. Oh, yeah, medevac. Love that. God, you got to see people. Everybody you see is seeing your chopper blades in slow motion.
I've seen the movie.
I've seen every single movie. It's slow motion, and somebody's voice is echoing in their head, begging them to stay with them as they fade in and out of consciousness. That's what I know about the medevac world.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's usually uninsured, drunk people yelling, get the fuck off me, or no speaking.
Mm-hmm. No speaking. By the way, I would have a...
Turlock's making him mean.
I would have a bank turn, no belt-in policy for those throwing around the attitude. You know what I mean? Yeah. Doors always open on the Huey. Meaning they bank a little hard to the right. He's not belted in.
It doesn't have to be a smooth ride.
Just right. It's one less mouthy hobo to deal with. Nobody's really going to look into that. I'm just saying. All right, let's see. We got Mark. We got Sam. Mark.
Ace Man.
26, New Jersey.
What's up? Just wanted to say real quick, I was able to meet both you and Bob Bryant at book signings here in New Jersey, both of which were awesome. And thanks again for coming out.
Thank you for attending.
Mm-hmm. And Allison, congratulations on probably getting pregnant soon.
Thank you. Not yet, but I'll let everyone know.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it. My question is for, I guess, Adam and Allison. I always love the news segment because basically that's where I get all my news instead of watching the news.
Wow.
Where did the zip it cunt come from?
The sign-off.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that me?
Well, yeah. We were looking for a sign-off, and then you said, how about zip it cunt telling me to shut up and wrap it up? And then I just used it as a sign-off, as if I misunderstood, and then we just stuck with it.
Seemed like a joke. I mean, seemed like it's better than have a pleasant tomorrow. But I do understand once in a while when we get some, older comedy royalty in here that you don't want to say zip it cunt.
Yes.
I will tell you this. You can have... you can use your own discretion. John's not uptight. But if Carl Reiner is sitting there, or Bob Newhart, or someone of that ilk, or Jane Goodall's on the phone,
right?
You can replace it with "zip it pussy" or something
like that.
Yes, you can come up with a less offensive replacement.
I usually substitute a word in there.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
That was Jane Goodall.
That was Jane.
I don't know what I was saying to her.
I think you're talking about monkeys. You're asking her about apes. You're like, do apes do this?
No, you said...
You were asking if she was good friends with her mother.
Yeah.
She had a good relationship with her mother.
You assumed she must have had a bad relationship with her mother if she wanted to take off and go to Africa.
In that case, I'll play this drop for myself.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
She has, like most people who work with primates, a wild sense of humor. Farcical, some would call it. Yeah, I suggested, she said when I was 11, I wanted to go to Africa and live with the chimps. And I said, well, maybe you didn't have the greatest relationship with your mother. And she said,
you cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Oh, also, John Mulaney, we forgot that Elliot Gould is in John's show.
Yeah.
And we had a captivating evening with Elliot Gould. Now, how have you found it working with Elliot thus far?
I love working with Elliot.
And how did the, we found him to be combative, but not in a aggressive or angry way.
He had a sit-in on our show. He had a sit-in, like a protest.
Yes.
He
was a guest on one of our live shows.
And then he began sitting?
And he was aggressively monosyllabic, is how I would describe it.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes. Now,
but you must be an Elliot Gould fan. There was probably nothing combative going on, right?
Whoa.
No.
No, first off, there's nothing you can do to me that's, you know, right. I don't give a shit what you call me or what you do.
I don't care.
And when I'm doing the live show, I tell whoever's doing the live show, look, say as little or as much as you like. We'll do the show. If you want to hang back, hang back. If you want to jump in, jump in. It's usually a way of me trying to say to them, don't put the pressure on yourself to come up here and do 90 minutes of stand-up.
Yeah.
Participate by all means. But if you don't have a zinger, then hang back. We'll fill the space. And that's what I tell them. But at a certain point, if they've not been included in the conversation for what feels like 12, 14 minutes, I'll want to turn to them and say, well, now what about you? How do you experience this? Or what do you know about this topic? And his answers were,
no.
That, and it made for a very bizarre,
right,
albeit memorable.
Memorable.
But entertaining.
Yeah, sure. Elliot's a deeply centered person with almost no, no desire to talk about things he doesn't want to talk about, right. Which would be interesting to interview.
So.
Yeah, he didn't want to talk about the movie he was there to promote.
Cool. I find that really cool. I mean, I'm not saying it was like.
But
it was a chatty interview, but that's pretty cool to just have been in Hollywood so long that you're there to talk about a movie you have no interest in talking about.
How is he on set?
Really, really cool. I've pumped him for a lot of stories about Robert Altman and his, you know,
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, and working with Robert Blake, and he just has great stories. I mean, he worked so much. And was in so many things that I was a big fan of that I unashamedly will say, will you tell me about, you know, Capricorn 1 or something?
No.
But he also, can be extremely stoic and quiet as well.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, that's a good one.
See? Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't sense any vitriol.
I can't imagine vitriol.
It was just sort of bizarre. I think I would file it under weird more than I would file it under angry.
Yeah, but I can absolutely see being like that at an older age. Just who gives a shit, you know? I can't imagine wanting to promote anything. Yeah, exactly.
But then remember,
I look forward to the day that I can not ever
not
throw
contribute.
Off a podcast, not ever offend anyone, but also just, you know, publicly not give a shit.
But then remember, someone sent us a link to, or the actual, he was on a radio show doing a radio interview, and the host asked him about his experience here, and he said what happened. And what was it he said? I think he said that he didn't like the way the show was going at the beginning. Yeah, he didn't want to participate.
So we're a negative, and he didn't want to participate. Basically.
Okay. What's the weird, you know, it's a weird, I don't know, John, how you look at it, but I was saying to somebody yesterday, we'll do we're doing this crowdfunding thing, raising money for this independent film I shot. And one of the things was, I do stand up in your living room.
Yeah.
And you pay us $15,000 that goes toward the movie. And there's a part of me that's like, okay, I got to go to the Palisades on a Saturday night with a bunch of people I don't know and awkwardly do stand up in their living room. On the other hand, I think to myself, if I paid someone $15,000 and they sort of sat in the corner with their arms crossed and they kind of had a vibe of don't talk to me and that kind of thing.
Or openly said, who gives a shit?
Or openly said,
who gives a shit?
Once I walk through that door, I am fucking all yours for the next 3 hours because you've made this commitment to me. I've made this commitment to you. And fuck it. I don't want to leave and have you go, well, he was an asshole. I wish we hadn't done that. Right. And I understand that part where you don't want to do it. You don't want to promote it. You don't want to ever. But once you step up on stage and take the microphone out of the stand, it's at that point you must put it all aside for the 87 minutes you shall be on stage, and then go back to wherever mode you want to go back to.
Yeah.
I think
I would
you
be the
have
exact
that
same
mode,
way.
Right?
Yeah, I would be the exact same. I would stay longer in the Palisades than my commitment, and yes. I would want everyone to think I was, like, the nicest person
and,
in the world.
And I did, and ultimately, I just spit on the mic, ultimately, I had a more enjoyable time by staying longer.
Yeah, by embracing it, yeah.
Getting drunker and having a better time with diving into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking say hi to everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the way we did it. All right. Shall we do a little news?
Yes, we should. But can we ask John Mulaney what it's like working with Martin Short?
Ooh.
Who's like my favorite.
Oh, yeah? You'd be I was a crazy, crazy fan of his forever. It's nuts. He's like... just like lightning fast funny. Like, you know, people achieve a certain status and they're still funny, but like it's way softer. He is like as funny as anybody, like the fastest comedy brain ever.
Is he, I don't feel like I see him out and about like I do with a lot of comedians. Is he a little bit reclusive, or what is his temperament like?
I don't mean
reclusive in a negative way. I just mean not out into going into premiere out to premieres on Saturday.
Oh, right,
nights.
Right, like that. No, he has three beautiful children and has friends and cool life and goes between Canada and the United States. And yeah, I mean, but he loves like show business, which is cool, which is great for like getting, you know, like just. These people, like, I just want to hear every anecdote that they have. So he's like great like that. But yeah, I don't think he's out at like
making
like,
the scene.
Yeah, I don't think he's out at
with
like
the Kardashians.
Yeah.
and is it surreal for you that guys, comedy idols growing up? I mean, Elliot Gould. There's never been a time when there wasn't Elliot Gould,
right?
You
yeah.
know, in your
no, it's
young
like
life.
It's like driving a Ferrari with really famous people in it. That you know, like if any scrape I make, everyone notices. Yeah, it's both thrilling and also like, oh my god, these people have done so much work.
Yeah, so you had to be a huge SNL fan.
Yeah, 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 and SCTV,
and SCTV yeah. fan, and
Jiminy Glick was like my favorite. Like I loved Jiminy Glick.
By the way, that is a brilliant. Sort of underrated character, or I don't even know
Prime
to call it
awesome.
Underrated,
yeah.
but his character is based. Do you guys sort of know what it's based on?
Actually, no.
I don't either. I know it sounds like I had an answer. No,
it's like Junket Guys.
It's very, no. Oh, Gary, we're going to have a tough time here.
Oh, boy.
Okay. There was. It was funny because I used to do the Acme Theater over here, and we're just talking about Elliot Gould, and we did that show over at Amalfi, which is a restaurant of mine I own 10% of, next to the Acme Theater. And Mark Sweeney, the guy who owns the restaurant, used to do that character to me before Jiminy Glick. He was a, you know, not a basic cable. He was... local cable,
public access
kind of guy, a gray haired guy. He had a black turtleneck and he would sit and do those interviews and he was very earnest, but he would fuck everything up. Like he would go, he was sort of James Lipton, sort of before we knew who James Lipton was. And he'd say, you working with, the late, great John Wayne, that must have been an experience. And the person, I never worked with John Wayne. Oh, and he'd roll right into his next question. And we used to make fun of this guy, and we loved this guy. And I think, and now you're going to have to ask if that's Martin Short. Well, we're going to figure it out.
All right.
I will tell Gary, who looks horrified, here's the thing. He was on some billboards and some bus stops and things like that. Sweeney would know who he is, but we'll never get hold of Sweeney in time. He always silver gray hair with a black turtleneck, looking deep in thought. And he did the one-on-one cable access interview, access cable.
Was it Skip E. Lowe?
Skip E. Lowe.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you say Skip E.? Like initial?
E. For,
yeah, we'll throw a picture of him up. We'll do news.
Excellent interviewer.
Not Skippy Lowe.
And I think he's passed. We'll see if we can come up with a little Skippy Lowe. First, DraftKings, baby. Oh,
he died just a month ago.
Really? All right.
September 2014, he died at age 85.
Well, I hope he was. Now, not this picture. All right, blame Dawson. I need Skippy Lowe at his Skippy Lowiest.
At his height.
That would have been
Skippy
about
Lowe.
20 years ago with a black turtleneck sweater. But we'll see if we can find some clips or something like that. We'll see what he sounds like.
Whoa.
Now, do we have a clip of Skippy doing an interview? And we'll play a little clip of Skippy Lowe doing an interview.
Looks like Brother Theodore.
Oh, they're working on it? All right. Yeah, if you find his billboard ad, too,
it's
turtleneck. He was like very, tell me more about this. And it was very.
I never ever saw Skippy Lowe.
He was a perfect storm of comedy because, like, he was a caricature that was well past Lipton in his earnestness when he would interview celebrities.
And he did local TV, but people would do it.
Here's funny you should mention that. Here's the subhead from his obituary in The Hollywood Reporter. He hosted a low-budget public access cable TV show based in L.A. for decades and somehow attracted the stars.
Thank you. By the way, even in death, they still must backhand you with the compliments. Right. Now that you're
somehow
dead,
couldn't
they just say attracted A-list celebrities or something?
Right.
The way celebrities work, I think, is this. If you get Harrison Ford to come in, then you can go ahead and get Steven Spielberg to come in because Harrison Ford came in.
Whoever worked for Skippy would go, past guests include Harrison Ford.
Right.
Oh, well, if he did it.
Right.
I'm going to sit down with Skippy.
If Harrison Ford can waste an hour and 40 minutes of his day talking to an insane person, then I guess with nobody watching, then I guess I can
also,
as well.
Also, no one will tell you not to do a TV show. They'll be well, it does have an audience.
And in a world where everyone's asking the tough questions, you know, an hour of sunshine blown up your ass is kind of nice.
Look how dark. Look, black shirt, black leather chair, and black background.
It was a floating head.
It was perfect. Milton Berle. All right. Let's see if we can hear a little Skippy with Milton Berle.
And now, here's your man of the half hour, Skippy Lowe.
Milton Berle, 78 years in show business.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and I have the material to prove it, I'll tell you that.
I can't believe 78 years. You are the longest, I'm telling you, the longest.
No, not the longest. No,
you aren't?
No. Well, I started when I was 5 years old.
Right.
Others started as zygotes.
You believe anything, won't you?
I know I won't believe anything, but I do believe that you started with Charlie Chaplin.
No,
like
before
that. Really?
I was a boy model for ads. And if you do see...
I told you everything he gets is wrong.
I don't think you're old enough to remember.
He's equally curious about the things he's wrong about.
And, when they said I was going to be on the program, they said, Skippy Lowe. I thought it was peanut butter Skippy Lowe cholesterol. I didn't know what it was. Anyway, no, I started as a...
Maybe he's lost his fastball. Milton has at this point.
He got to it, though. Me around to different places. Uh-huh. And I was kind of cute. And they said...
It's an all-black room with black chairs and silver hair.
A picture... of the Buster Brown boy with the shoes, with the little dog tag.
Right.
That's me.
You're kidding.
I was 5 years old.
Five.
And I have the piece of memorabilia in my home. It's up in my archives.
Movies. First film was with Charlie Chaplin?
Well, first picture I made was...
What do you say now?
Chaplin and Marie Dressler.
Oh, I got one.
If the audience remembers, one of the world's greatest comedians.
We all know her.
It was Chaplin's first long feature picture.
Right.
He had made two reelers like The Rink and Easy Street and all that. But this was called Tilly's Punctured Romance. Mm-hmm. And I was the kid in the picture with Chaplin. And in the picture, He was so bright, Chaplin. He was
Chaplin?
Brilliant, brilliant. no. As I look back now.
The first 80.
I see the film now. He was the opening of the picture.
awesome, is he?
Tubby's Punch of Romance. And Chaplin was walking down as the little tramp with the cane. Right.
If you find anything better, we'll listen to it. Hey,
oh, my God.
Skippy Lowe. This fan's fucking priceless, right?
Amazing.
No.
How his body language and just, and you can now you gotta ask Marty if he's
yes, I
ever
to.
Seen
I
this guy and if he says no, knee him in the groin and go, why not?
Well, I'm gonna watch so many of these tonight. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm gonna go home and watch so many Skippy Lowe's right now. Oh my gosh.
He's unbelievable.
No,
right?
No cards, by the way. Did you see that? Like, didn't even
he's
try.
A fountain of information. He doesn't need cards.
Information.
That's a crutch
no?
that guys like us use. Fucking awesome.
No.
All right. If you find any other A-lister with Skippy Lowe, I'm going to need to see it because he never disappoints. Now, this is sort of between the ferns or two ferns, right. But without the ferns, right? All right. What do we got, Allison?
Oh, all right. Well, did we even do the intro?
No, you interrupted it.
Sorry. The
news. Oh, he's got Tony Curtis.
She reads some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison. Allison.
All right, I need just 40 minutes of Tony Curtis, and then we'll get to the news.
Okay.
I went to an acting school down in the neighborhood you just mentioned.
You did?
The New School of Social Research, the Piscata School of Acting, which was on Houston Street.
Right.
Not too far from Sammy's, what was
Bowery
it?
Follies.
Bowery Follies. Is that where you started?
I started there as a child. It's,
you know, born and raised in Manhattan?
I came here as a child, but I went back. Yeah, yes, yes, I
yes,
love New York.
I was born and raised in New York.
But you were born
well.
In just
Bronx.
Wearing a hat.
No, no, Manhattan. No,
they always say the Bronx.
I lived in the Bronx for about 6 months.
Oh, is that what they say?
I was back in Manhattan, lived in Queens for a little while.
Your father was a tailor.
My father was a tailor from Hungary.
All right.
Tell me about the settlement. That was a settlement kind of a theater you did, didn't it? Wasn't it? Or
well, there was a Henry Street settlement.
That's
right. I did, but that was the that those adventures were only created by me to give me some other look at life.
Right.
Life was so insular living in New York City, born and raised there.
They're so
right. Coming
tight
from
on
an
Skippy,
immigrant family,
see
Hungarian Jews,
in his nostrils.
Yes.
Very limited in its scope.
He's so leaned forward. He's know? In Tony's shot too.
There was a
performing oral on himself.
His hair is
one
right
hand, I lived in this very charming Hungarian environment.
Right.
And then when I went out in the streets, it was a jungle. New York City was a jungle. So that combination.
Right.
Is what shaped me and made me be the person that I am.
Yes. But you got into the Navy. You went right to the Navy.
You got in.
How long were you in the Navy?
I was in the Navy 3 years. I went in when I was about 17. Never left Manhattan until that time.
Really?
Went practically around the world to Tokyo.
Really?
Saw the signing of the peace treaty. Uh-huh. Came back to New York City when I went acting school for a year.
Uh-huh.
I used my GI Bill of Rights. Somebody from Universal, a guy named Bob Goldstein.
Right.
Saw a play
show business?
Called Golden
right.
Boy.
Right.
And the next thing I know,
well.
I'm here in California. On my 22nd birthday.
On your 22nd, Universal signed you up.
7-year contract, right.
Signed you up 7 years.
I didn't
years.
Have to kiss anybody, kiss anything, go with anybody. I just got in the movies.
But you worked the Catskills. Tell me about the Catskills. I want to know about that.
The Stanley Wolf play.
All right.
Yes, that's what I want to know.
Yes, I want to know about that.
This guy's a fucking national treasure, isn't he?
Really? There's a pattern of he says what he thinks is a fact, then he immediately furrows his brow as if to say, did I get it wrong?
Right.
And then he waits.
Well, please ask Marty about this.
Yes, I have to know this now.
All right. Now, where the hell were we?
Andy Dick was arrested for grand theft on Friday night in Hollywood. Police have not revealed details. However, last week, a man accused Andy Dick of stealing his $1,000 necklace. And the man says that Dick rode away on a bike with the jewelry after asking if he could see it. When I hear grand theft, I just assume that that means an automobile. And I'm realizing it doesn't mean that. It's just the size.
Any kind of, and I'm with you, any kind of thievery that involves making off on a bicycle, unless that's the bicycle you stole, is drug related. There's always something super sad. I don't know why, but when they go, the armed guy came up, shot the couple in the back of the head and took off on a 10-speed, I actually feel more sorry for the guy on the 10-speed than the couple that was gunned down on their evening walk. There's something weird and there's something insanely desperate about crime with a getaway bicycle guy. He's one of the best bars man in the,
he's
in
a peg
business.
Man. I need a peg man for this guy.
I need a peg and bars man for this. Yeah, so that is, I'm guessing he's not sober. That's
it
what I'm guessing.
It would sound that way. I feel, I root for Andy Dick, so I feel sad when stuff like this happens.
He is not only a really sweet, nice guy, but he's also very
Jew.
He's a very talented guy, yeah. Too. He really is a very, very strong performer who, when he's on the top of his game, can compete with anybody, and it totally could work. And it's just sad. And it's also sad that, you know, we're basically watching somebody kill themselves in slow motion, and it becomes sort of a joke in a sense, and it shouldn't be, because if this was leukemia, we would treat it differently. Instead, this is probably going to kill him faster, whatever he's doing, whatever he's up to, whatever he's into, and it's just sad that guy can't, you know, stay sober. And again, I'm assuming that things that involve necklaces and bicycles when you're in your later 40s, early 50s, usually involve drugs as well.
Though I applaud the can I see that move to get the necklace.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is
that savvy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where my see with your eyes, not with your hands, comes in.
And the retort when he says, can I have that back? He says, have what back?
Right. I think I've just added another to my list of wanting to know if you're on the have or have not side of life or the good side of the train tracks growing up. Junior high, I've said Levi's or Tough Skins, Schwinn or Huffy bicycles, and now the ratio of you saying, can I see that, versus see with your eyes, not with your hands. Because I spent my entire junior high sitting on a Huffy bicycle, wearing Tough Skins, and saying, oh, you have that miniature football game, that little, you know, video. Can I check that out? Can I see that? Can I see that? Can I see? Can I try? Can I try your moped? Can I see this? Can I see that? And was always on the not-so-fast hot shot. Yeah, the how many times you say not so fast to somebody versus the times it's said to you. I never said to anybody not so fast, hot shot, because I didn't
have
anything.
Can I see those tough skins?
Yeah, those reinforced knees. Not so fast, hot shot. All right, he'll be missed.
Mountain Dew is experimenting with a Doritos flavored soda. They're experimenting on college campuses, and they have dubbed the new flavor Doritos. And initially this came out, I think the story first came out on Reddit. So there's this question of, is this true? Is it just a rumor? But a spokeswoman for PepsiCo said that it is true. Quote, we opened up the Dew Flavor Vault and gave students a chance to try this Doritos-inspired flavor as part of a small program.
Inspired.
We were inspired to make this.
Well, I'm stuck on the Dew Flavor Vault.
Yeah, it's going to be cheese.
Right. Right.
Cheesy yeah. Soda.
And that's not in a vault. It's out in the world, the Doritos flavor. You don't need to go among your old, you know, microfiche.
The nectar of the tards, as I call Mountain Dew. And I always say there needs to be a sterilization agent put into Mountain Dew and Sunny D, which is not a sip of it's not going to render you sterile. But if you drink more than 4 liters of Mountain Dew a month, you cannot get impregnated.
Isn't that already the rumor? Oh, sterilization. It's supposed to lower your sperm count, right? Or is that just urban legend?
I would like you to be unable to...
Both sexes unable.
To produce sperm and drop an egg at that point. If it's over, look, if you want to have a couple of Diet Dews a month, that's your business. I'm talking a couple of 2-liter things. We'd solve a lot of problems in this nation. Number one, and possibly Shaq's pineapple soda as well, which somebody says does exist, by the way,
it
Gary.
It does.
I didn't just make it up. Either way, this Doritos thing is a super slippery, bright orange slope that we're all tumbling down in slow motion.
Wow.
Somebody had the Dorito flavor for 37 years, and the only flavor Doritos was on Doritos. And then at some point, somebody, like 2 years ago, said, well, what if we made a taco shell that had a Dorito flavor to it?
That's just so crazy it might work.
And everybody went nuts, and mark my words, there's going to be Dorito-flavored toilet paper that is hitting the shelves in a matter of a year. I mean, it will be, it's a super simple math. Everyone is fat, everyone is stupid, and everyone loves Doritos. What else do you need to know? There's going to be, look, if this works, and I pray it doesn't, but if this works, there is going to be Dorito coffee, Dorito tea, Dorito tampons, Dorito fucking everything.
It just seems like a weird flavor to want to drink in soda form.
Yes. Yeah.
I agree, but think about all the insane things we said a few years ago. Who's going to pay for TV? TV's free. Who's going to pay for water? No one's going to pay $3. $4 cup of coffee? Cup of coffee's $1, and you get it refilled 29 times. All this shit that we sort of said, who's going to pay for, everyone is paying for now.
Yep.
All right.
Well, speaking of disgusting flavors and crazy things, or I suppose some people won't find this disgusting, but there's a company up in Seattle that's making bacon-flavored condoms, and
it's like a textured.
Actually, it's not. It just appears to be textured. Oh. It's not actually textured. But it tastes like bacon because they also make bacon lube.
Uh-huh.
And people have to go to adamcarolla.com to see this photo because we're looking at the unrolled condom, and it looks like a strip of bacon with a reservoir tip.
Right. Now, this is all fun and games until your cock is attacked by seagulls.
Yep.
Which could... Hey, true story. Hand of God.
That's right.
Guy put the condom on. They were staying at a beach cottage. Mm-hmm.
Leaving the bay doors open because it's a nice little... You like to hear the waves?
That's right.
Dramatic.
Well, why rent the cottage and then just, you know, shut the drapes and shut the doors? It was a lot like that scene in 10 when he went to go visit the American Gigolo. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of good movies where they went down to the shore to visit the pimps or the whatever. And true story, the guy donned the condom and he had the windows open and it was a 10th anniversary. Now they were using the condom because she was off the birth control and they'd already recently had twins and his penis was savagely attacked by a group of marauding gulls.
It feels wrong to laugh about it.
Until there was almost nothing left. Mm. And obviously the gull can't discern between the flesh of the penis and the beautiful bacon-scented condom that covers it.
It was quite similar.
Yeah.
It was quite similar.
Mm. Mm-hmm. He didn't even try to fend them off. He was that amazed and perplexed by it.
Well,
it happened so fast.
He just, arms out in disbelief.
Well, what would you do if marauding seagulls were attacking your junk?
You go for your phone to take a picture first.
That's right. Nobody's going to believe this. Right.
And in that time, the gulls do their work.
That's right.
Carry it out to Davy Jones's locker.
That's what they did. They dropped it in Davy Jones' locker or on someone's windshield. Yeah.
Imagine so for those of you renting a beach house with big ideas about bacon condoms.
That's right.
Think again.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I understand, not really, but I get the idea behind flavored lube. But the idea of making your junk look like a piece of bacon, this is some fetish, right?
This is
for novelty sex.
It's a very niche market, which is straight guys who want to suck off other straight guys. It's not going to be a big market.
Right.
It's going to be for lumberjacks who are exceedingly heterosexual, who are super lonely, who are hungry and drunk, and will suck off other straight guys. It's an enticement. It's a bridge. It bridges the gay and straight oral community.
I mean, where do you even sell something to that community?
It's a bacon bridge is what it is. It's a bridge to get husky, heavy-set, straight dudes to blow other dudes. That's it. It's not enticing women.
Mm-mm.
If you're gay, you're already in. and you're probably not as big a bacon lover as the lumberjack is.
Chubby girls are always down to fuck.
I think it's about building a bridge, you know. Like, I'm convinced that if they had, condoms that were sort of bobbleheads, you know, you had a Peyton Manning on there and you're a huge Denver fan, you know, and it smelled of bacon. There are probably a few straight guys that are three or four beers away from going down on that dude.
Or, if you hate Peyton Manning and you're about to have anal sex.
Right.
You put it on.
That's right. That's right.
That's
right. That's not funny. That's what I'm saying. It's a bacon bridge to homosexuality. That's clear. That is clear to me. Any more Skippy Low? And by the way, Shaq's got a pineapple-flavored punch. That's why we couldn't find it initially. All right, let's do one more. What do we got?
The new cast of Celebrity Apprentice has been announced. Mm. Baseball's Johnny Damon.
Mm-hmm.
Geraldo Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Gosselin.
Mm-hmm.
Deadliest Catch star Sig Hansen.
Oh, Captain.
Terrell Owens.
Ah, T.O.
Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Yeah.
Was that Rudy?
From the Cosby Show?
That's Rudy.
Wait, no. Yeah.
That's Rudy.
It is Rudy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Awesome. Mm.
Kevin Jonas.
Ah.
I don't know who's your favorite Jonas brother, but...
Hey, Kevin.
Now it's Kevin.
With a bullet.
Olympic gymnast Shawn Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Lorenzo Lamas.
Huh.
Mm.
Ian Ziering.
Right.
Olympic snowboarder Jamie Anderson.
Really?
Vivica A. Fox.
Yeah.
Lisa Gibbons.
It's a big cast.
It's a huge cast.
It's not a bad draw.
Not at all.
Brandy Glanville. It's oh, and here's the final one. And former Real Housewives of Atlanta's Kenya Moore.
Mm.
It's a lot of people.
That's why they take a few years off. I admire that. They were like, we don't have the names. Let's take a few years off and let's get together like a dozen people.
Till we can get
normally
Lisa.
It's
16 people.
There's usually seven who I have no idea who you're talking about, and I've heard of a lot of these people. All right. Should we listen to Skippy Low talk to Shelley Winters?
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine there's anyone better.
Yeah, it's no one better.
...with him in a place in the sun and nominated as best actress. And I knew his ego was such... that he didn't want to, that he wanted to direct her himself.
Right.
I tried to get her to send a wire to George Stevens and say, Dear Mr. Stevens, I'd like to have a test with you without my father, Lee Strasberg, or my mother, Paula Strasberg.
Uh-huh.
And she wouldn't do it. She was doing a play on Broadway, Time Remembered.
Uh-huh.
And she was involved in her first romance, and she just wouldn't do
it. She refused the part.
Yeah, well, she he didn't offer it to her, but Audrey... Audrey Hepburn, had supposed to do it, but in those days they did things like that. They offered her husband a film to direct, Green Mansion.
A great movie, too. Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, and she did that instead. And so they had to look for another Anne Frank. And Millie was wonderful. She was very good, but she didn't really know anything about the background of the people.
Shelley, you had a lot to do, though. You got her on the side.
Mm.
You showed her about King David or whatever.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, it... it's sort of strange, the directors, I don't know whether I can ever do television because I never can mind my own business.
Right.
I'm a creative actress.
We get it. Unless you find some gold of him screwing up, I will I'll give you guys a break with Skippy Low. But you must, John, you must talk to Short about this and get to it because I always thought he lifted a page.
Yeah, I should ask him. that lilt of, oh.
Yes. Yes. It's awesome.
It's amazing.
All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
All right, that was John Mulaney back in 2014. We have another listener request for you. This one comes from Dan. Dan writes, I've been meaning to email this request for months now, and every time I think about it, it literally makes me laugh out loud. Can you play the clip of Adam doing his morning radio show, either his back sack and butt crack, or he was just being the morning radio guy? From roughly 3 years ago, where he goes for an extended period of time. I know his morning show bits only last for a few minutes most of the time, but this was one that was at least 20 minutes long. I believe he had an assist from Gina and Brian as well. Had to have been 3-ish years ago as a pre-COVID because I was listening to it over lunch while I walked the skyways of downtown Minneapolis. I was laughing maniacally with my headphones in and got multiple weird looks from people as I traversed the skyways. Hearing this again will make my month, gents. Love the show, guys. Fills my weekends when I'm caught up with regular ACS. XOXOXO. Thanks, Dan. I think the exact clip you want is from Adam Carolla Show 2736. The only reason I doubt it is you didn't mention the presence of Brian Widman. This is Tucker Carlson, Brian Widman, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. This one was January 26, 2020, aired the following day, right as everything was about to change before anything had happened. This may be exactly the episode you want. I think it's the only one from roughly 3 years ago that fits the description. There may be an episode where Adam doesn't have a guest and he does a version of this, either preceding this almost immediately, or unrelated. I can find it if this is not the one you want. I have a feeling you'll like this one. Check it out.
I thought it'd be fun that if I could be the program director for WHFS in the D.C. area.
Have you always wanted to be a program director, dude?
I as of this morning when I thought of this, yes.
Okay, yeah. About 3 hours.
I used to be on air, so I'm I go by Cloud St. Cloud. Oh. And I'm interviewing Backzack, who broke up with Asscrack.
Oh, okay.
After our last discussion, it got pretty heated off the air.
And for the folks hearing the Carolla Show, this comes right on the heels of Celino and Barnes separating.
That's
it's
right.
It's a lot to
That's
ask.
That's right, the Barnes firm.
So now we're looking at Backzack to join the morning crew here at WHFS. And I thought it'd be... It'd be fun to go over your resume and just sort of sit down with you. And then later on, we'll bring in Stax and Marty St. Clair, see how the chemistry feels.
Hackathon. Should I go get Backzack?
Yeah, go get Backzack.
Okay, just give me just a second.
Yeah,
Hackaramif.
Go get Backzack.
I'm just going to go to the door real
yeah.
quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they want me now? I thought I had a better get a cup of coffee. No, you don't. You got to come in now, dude.
Yeah,
hey.
Backzack.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Hey, Mr. Cloud, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, good. Thanks for being prompt. Thanks for coming out to D.C.
I love the nation's capital, man. I tell you something, I get the goosebumps up and down the arm, man. I look at that Lincoln Memorial, and I look at that Washington Monument.
Right.
And I see there in them the promise of every American from every nation.
There's no windows in the studio.
Oh, it's like a women's prison
yeah,
here.
Yeah, so you can see that on the way in, but... Well, it's going to be dark on the ride up. We're talking about doing mornings.
Did you listen to my air check? I sent it over.
I did it. I did. I heard a lot of good stuff in there, and there's also room for improvement.
Hey,
I talked to some of your former program directors.
Whoa.
I know.
I mean, great is what I meant. Great.
I know you've worked. I don't have your resume in front of me. I know you've worked at a couple different stations. I mean, you're a veteran.
I have. Thank you for saying that. That warms the cackles of my heart that you'd call me a veteran. I don't think of myself
a traveled veteran.
I do radios to put a smile on people's face and to kind of salute the greater sacrifice that's out there. I'm not a veteran like a guy at a war.
I heard that. You said that in the air check a couple of times.
I did. I said it a lot. I wanted to underscore it.
Yeah, I heard it seven times, I think.
Oh, righty.
Okay.
I started at Ocean City, Maryland, man, and that was hot. I was there for a summertime two-week vacation with my girlfriend at the time, and she was a little underage, and I'll tell you that story a little bit later.
Yeah, the air.
I was 18, and she was... Well, a couple of weeks before that, and we went to Ocean City, Maryland. It was hot, and I heard 99.9 100. They rounded it up. I thought that was hot.
Right.
99.9 100 KHI with the hitman on the morning, bringing the hits and hitting them hard. And Dan the Man in the middays, and he was hot.
Right.
And Flash
He's
Phelps.
He's going to be missed, Dan is.
Has he passed away?
I was with him at 91X in the 80s, think the late 80s.
Dan the Man.
I heard he was.
I need a moment.
I don't think he suffered. I'm pretty sure he was shot in his sleep by his third wife.
Well, let me say that no one suffered here in Dan the Man. That man could bring a smile to your face over a seven-second intro over Madonna, and he was hot.
Yeah. Okay. So let's focus on you. And, you know, we can't bring Dan back. And
as you notice on that air check, I used a different name. I haven't been Backzack my entire career. Can I say that to you, Mr. Clark?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was Flash Phelps.
Phelps.
I spelled Flash, P-H-L-A-S-H, Phelps, P-H, and any word that had that dreaded letter F there, that cat's little... I'm smart, too, and I try to communicate that to people who listen. I hope you know that, Mr. Clown.
Oh, so you were Phelps.
I was Flash Phelps.
I didn't know that was you.
Oh, so you didn't really hear me.
It's
a problem.
What other stations did you work for?
Well, I parlayed that because my program director said, hey, buddy, you got hot phones. Because I was doing nights, and I said, oh, whatever. He said, you have hot phones. He said, you could take a caller, and you could distill it down, you know, the 7 or 8 seconds it is the hottest, you know, like.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but let's say I'm calling in.
Oh, right. Here we go. And I would say, 999 100 KHI, Mr. Cloud is KHI-ing at home. What's going on today?
Hey, I got a request.
Right. What is it?
MacArthur Park. The Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain song.
And I'll never have that cake again. Yeah. Got a summer. That 100 KH.
Wow. Wow, you did.
Was that hot?
Yeah. Boy. I put you on the spot, but you talk about hot phones. You mean white hot.
And it's not me. I'm not braggadocious.
Yeah,
he said to me, buddy, you have hot phones. And I think
when you repeat compliments that people said to you, it still means you're bragging.
I don't see it that way.
Okay, so let's just keep moving.
Yeah, he said to me, he was on the air too. Skip Church was an MP, he was on the air. And he said to me, I think you're going places.
Oh.
And I said, like what kind of places? He said, big markets, man, big cities, skyscrapers, the whole thing. And I got the goosebumps, the bumpers right here.
Yeah, I missed, I worked with Skip. I think he ended up at either Q101 or 91X. Anyway, he's going to be missed.
Yeah. Has he passed away?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Second wife shot him in his sleep.
Whoa. Skip Church passed.
Skip Church is gone, yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. All right, I don't want to change the mood here.
Anybody called Charlie Tudor to tell him that? Because they were real tight, man.
Oh, no.
Charlie Tudor and Skip Church were tight.
No, Charlie was on the air, I think, when we broke it.
Whoa.
Yeah, Charlie had to break it to the listeners.
No
one ever wants to get that far.
It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do by attacker.
I thought you just heard about it.
Yeah, that was pretty hard, too.
Okay, all right. So, you were with, I'm sorry, what other stations?
I was at 999-100KHI, Joanne Hoffman's, and I made him hotter. When he said, you have hot, it's like a Duraflame burning in the fireplace.
Right.
And he said, buddy, you have hot phones. And I said, well, I'm throwing another Duraflame on there to get him just smoking white
hot. Right, hot phones.
And then I did it, and I'm here to tell you I did it.
He went off to.
Yeah, and I was very female friendly, as you can tell. Mm-hmm. And I'd get those chicks on the phone, and we'd turn it around. I'd get up over an intro and nail that puss. Oh, yeah, you're hot, baby. Here's Madonna causing a commotion at 99.9-100 kids.
Right.
There was an opening in Connecticut. And Ocean City, Maryland is not too far from Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Right.
The home of WEB 108FM. WEBEFM Bridgeport. And WEB 108. You know what they wanted? They didn't want hot foods.
What?
I mean, I'm like, and I kept it up here, you know, in my medulla oblongata.
Right.
Because I didn't want to tell him, hey, I'm here because I think I got hot foods. My PD, he's my reference.
Right.
He's going to tell you I have hot foods. Mm-hmm. If they called him, I'm as dead as a doorknob. Or maybe as deaf as a doorknob or something.
Uh-huh.
Either way, I'm dead. So I knew immediately. Backsack, pull down the entertainment value of what you do. Uh-huh. And that's what you have before you die.
Yeah.
So I did get the evening shift. Hold on.
You want some tea?
No, I just want to do the calls right, man.
All right.
Here we go. Straight up, 9 o'clock, WEBEFM, Bridgeport. WEB 108, no rap. No heart stuff and no sleepy elevator music. We're doing a 2-minute, 90-minute commercial free, or you get $100 from the Weeby, and then I pull my headphones out. Can I do it?
Yeah.
I just slam them to the ground like that.
Yeah.
I slam the mic off, and I know I'm hotter than a pistol.
You know, and I appreciate you wearing the headphones into the interview. I know they're not plugged in, obviously. I bought this desk from IKEA. It doesn't have a phone jack in it. I don't know why it would, but I like your commitment. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I believe I bring so much of myself to my program. And I think anybody who does this has got to bring a lot of yourself. You got to be authentic. You got to be the real. You got to be the real backsack.
Yeah, and I know you're a journeyman. I know you're well-traveled. I know you've been in many. I think we've been at some of the same stations. Could you mind just mowing through a few of those?
I tell you, it was hot. It was hot in Bridgeport, and I didn't do hot phones, but this is what I got from him, Chuck Roast.
Chuck Roast?
He was my PD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's hot.
Yeah, I miss that guy.
And he said, you know what?
He's passed. Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck Roast is dead.
Yeah, first wife shot him while he was asleep.
Doris?
Sleeping.
Doris?
I think that was his first wife.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
She shot him. Oh, my God.
Well, he was sleeping. I don't know.
But then he didn't feel anything.
Well, he didn't die for about 4 days. You know what? I don't want to get mired in who's died.
I have to say something about Chuck Roast.
Right.
Now that you mentioned he's passed away.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I'm fine. I'm a professional. Now that you mentioned he passed away, he was the guy who said to me, he said, Backsack.
Yeah.
When you die. This was during an air check session. We were listening to sound. It was in the 80s. Uh-huh. And he said, Backsack, when you die, people won't remember you for the things you did or for your achievements. They'll remember you for the way you made them feel. Mm. And I said, wow, Chuck, that is hot. Mm. And he said, and you're starting to make me feel like I hired a neurologically impaired disc jockey. Mm. And I said, whoa. I don't think that's a compliment. But he stuck with me, and he told me I connected to female listeners, and that's when the money started coming up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I know you guys must have obviously lost touch. You hadn't heard of his passing.
Well, I hadn't heard of him. I understand now why. I called a million times, and the voicemail was set up. Hey, Chuck Rose coming at you, and so is that tone. Beep.
Right.
I loved it. And I treated my message like it was a break on the air. I said, hey, you know who, if we stop more than twice an hour for commercials, you win. You win. A Wheat Bee 108 t-shirt. You know who it is, big guy. Hit me back up.
Well, he stopped now for good.
Never called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was probably hoping. Couldn't have.
I was
all
hoping.
Right, sorry. Other state. I don't want to get mired in the death of Chuck Rose.
Understood.
Other
stations. Understood that.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. I went. I'm sorry. Do you have a question?
No. I'm just.
I realize I may be dominating and I'm talking too much about myself.
No. That's what we're here to do. I want to hear about the stations you've worked on. I want to hear about some of the folks you've worked with.
I got to say, one of the hottest guys in the industry I've ever known, because he's smart and he's funny and he's just zany. I mean, he's madcap. This guy would, he wouldn't tell you this because Vezzy Parmesan at Hot 106 The Tunes in Rhode Island is a very, very humble guy.
Is that Vezzy Parmesan?
Yeah, Vezzy Parmesan.
Oh, okay, that's...
Hot 106 The Tunes in Rhode Island. I tried to say, now he was competing directly with Mike Butts in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And Vezzy thought, we got to break through. And
His real name, Parmesan, that was Rob Ostrup.
Yeah, he was Norwegian.
Yeah,
he was a Swede.
Passed.
No,
he's passed.
Whoa.
I didn't know Parmesan, but I do remember a guy named Robert Ostrup.
Robert Ostrup.
That was his name, but he went
his
by Veggie.
His father was
Parmesan.
Lars Ostrup. They were Nordic.
Well, I think his dad may still be alive. But anyway, Robert. Robert's passed.
Veggie?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be gloom and doom.
He died in his sleep. He wasn't shot by his wife. It was a rollover suffocation. He wasn't a big man.
I hate
his
to see.
His wife put on some weight after the triplets and...
I hate to see people suffer. I hate the thought that I was out there spinning tunes nonstop, back-to-back on a 2 for Tuesday, probably at 101 KGB, San Diego's real classic rock. Oh, my goodness, it's Jim McGinnis coming up next with 12 in a row.
Jim's passed.
I
guess we've been in the business for a while.
Oh, my goodness, Jim McGinnis?
Yeah.
What happened? Please tell me you didn't suffer.
You know... Autoerotic asphyxiation is a very delicate subject, and it's not one that I discuss with at ease. And I feel
I
like we but
I
not
do.
On the air.
Okay. I mean, I can pick up a cue.
Well, no, I heard the PSA that you put on your air check.
I have to.
Right, but I understand. Let's just keep it
you know what?
Water safety
if
over
I
here.
Do,
we don't.
If I do it now, you can log it as a PSA on your program log, and you get credit.
Oh, so you want to do autoerotic asphyxiation PSA for me sort of live here?
I can make it quick if you want.
Okay. I'm all ears.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, you brought a miniature piano?
Ooh.
Sorry.
Oh, you're doing it with me.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Cloud.
Yeah, sorry.
From the top, man.
Let's take it.
Hi, I'm Backsack. You hear me every day right here on WOKY The Jam in Milwaukee. It's the guy in Milwaukee doing the talkie-talkie. But it's not always time for talk and conversation or contemplation. Sometimes I need to relax. And you've listened to Backsack long enough to know that there's not a long line outside my apartment of willing participants in the relaxation nation. So what do? I get some rope. And I get a little step stool. And I make my way up above the kitchen table. I live alone, so it's a card table. I'm not going to lie to you. I kick it out of the wood. I have it pretty well up there. And I got to tell you something. I start to enjoy myself. And then the phone rings. And it's my traffic reporter, Lane Closure. And she is screaming. I got a machine from 1981, which I first got hired at KHI.
Hey, back deck, and I...
So
okay,
don't tie yourself.
I'm sorry. I just want to jump in here. You're at the 6-minute mark. These are 30-second
I should trim
PSAs.
It. No, you're right. I should trim it down.
We can tighten it. I can take some of the air out of it, but I don't know if I can take 5.5 minutes worth of it.
Mr. Clouds, you're brilliant.
Yeah.
You remind me of my buddy Tom Cuddy in New York City. First guy to tell me, he said, Backsack, no empty calories. Yeah. When you're doing your breaks, no empty calories. Make every word count.
Yeah. There's not a lot of guys I miss in this industry, but he's one of them.
Your buddy, Tom Cuddy. He is, I'm sure, very well with his wife, Lisa. She's a sweetheart.
He's gone.
He's probably left New York, no doubt
about it.
He's
passed.
Ooh. Now, give me a moment.
Yeah.
Because Tom did a lot.
Yeah.
Did a lot from the room.
The coroner called it. And I didn't even know this was a thing, but a Murphy bed ejection trauma.
I don't believe it.
Somehow the springs were too tight or something, and then he had rolled over, and it literally launched him like a trebuchet.
Mr. Cloud, I need to correct myself. I do believe it. I believe every word of it.
Yeah, it sounded, again.
Because I remember the Murphy bed.
Yeah, right.
He traded it out from Craftmatic.
You probably worked with Murphy Bed for a while.
Murphy Bed did middays. He called himself Murphy in the Midday.
Right.
And every shift started with a song by an artist beginning with the letter M. I remember vividly driving down 95.
I was a bedhead when I was 17. I'd listen on the, I'd go home from lunch. I was a senior in high school, and yep. I joined the bedheads. I had the bumper stickers on the Nova.
When I was at XERB in Playa de Rosarito, did you ever call my bed check? I did it every night, the bed check with Backsack.
Who were you on?
It was me. I was solo, bub.
Oh, you're working solo. Were you overnight?
No, I was doing evenings. 7-11.
Who's doing overnights over there?
Stu Elliott. Stu Elliott.
I don't miss Stu.
He called himself the Stew Man.
Right.
And I think he was trying to transition into a culinary career.
Yeah.
But it never quite happened.
No.
It's unfortunate. But he traded out for that Ben Murphy. I'm Murphy in the Midday, and here's Martika. Step by step, heart to heart.
Right.
You know, toy soldiers,
right,
man.
Right, right.
It was hotter than a firecracker. It gives me the chill bumps hearing it right now in my mind's ear.
Right.
I hope I recreated it in a way you could appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Mr. Cloud, I got to cut to the chase with you.
Right.
We're talking a lot about my career.
Right.
And I don't want to be bragging.
You don't want to be what?
Bragging. braggadocious.
Oh, right. What are you bragging?
I'm embarrassed just saying it, man.
Well, I'm looking here. You're at the Blaze in Chicago, WPJJ.
Now, I was with
the Beat in Baltimore. That's WPOC.
That's right. That's
Jeff
right.
Jeff St. Pierre, that's Major right. Tom, that's Johnny B.
That's right. Johnny B, I conceptualized his short-lived television program, Johnny B. on the Loose, because I walked into the studio one day and I said, Johnny, you know, the problem is you're confined to the studio. You got so much frenetic energy, man. Uh-huh. You're hotter than a pistol. Get out of here and have cameras follow you. Be on the loose. Mm-hmm. And he said, Backsack, you're like a TV executive. What are you doing overnights? And I said, what? He said, yeah, they rerun you at overnights. You're not live in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that knocked me out, man. I was on Prozac the next day.
What was it like? What was Dr. Dave and Wild Bill like at WGTZZ, the Wave out in Cleveland?
Yeah, the Wave was a hot station. It was an event. Mm-hmm. It was an event. And Dr. Dave was brilliant at Parody Suggs. And he was actually a doctor. You know, he was.
What was he, doctor?
He was a dentist.
Oh, a dentist.
Yeah, he was a dentist, and he put all that aside because he knew he had a knack for making comedy, and he did parody songs for us. You remember Pop Goes the World?
Yeah, sure.
One morning, I'm doing mornings there, and I am really rolling through it. 7 songs an hour, Horrible Scopes, Office of the Day, the power song of the day.
Right, did you do Heine Wine over there?
I did Heine Wine from Big Red and Thor. I absolutely did that. I was also on Nutrisystem.
Oh, okay.
So it works.
You're willing to try out the mattress, try out the diet program.
By the way, I'm honest with you, Mr. Cloud. Even after the horrific, tragic story of Tom Cuddy's untimely death due to a Murphy bed snafu, I signed a deal right now with the Murphy bed maker. Yeah, for an endorsement fee.
All right, so let me just... you understand I have to ask some of the harder questions.
I'm prepared. It's not my first rodeo.
I'm just going to power through some of these stations you're on.
Yeah, man. And can I tell you about the power real quickly? The power station.
Yeah.
I was on that Power 99 in Hot Atlanta. And I had a great idea. I was the assistant to the assistant to the intern of the music department.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in and I said, how about this? 7:20 in the morning, the Breakfast Club announces the power song of the day.
Mm.
Now, the power song of the day had to contain the word power.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear The Power of Love by Celine Dion 2 times in a row, back to back, you hear it twice, caller 10, say hello to $99 from Power Station. Power 99.
All right, well, I got
Power 99.
I got lunch coming up. So you're on K-Earth, Los Angeles, with the real Don Steele.
And
you're on
Shotgun Tom.
Hey, with Shotgun Tom. You're on with Charlie Tuna at K-Big 104, the Sound in Los Angeles, Flash Phelps, we talked about, 106, Sun Fort Wayne.
That's right.
Pat St. John at WPL. Jay, you got Wolfman Jack at XERB. And,
that's right. I was on The Buzz, remember?
Right. Like Cousin Brucey, WCBS, The Clown. Right.
I did that. He won't tell anybody that. I hate to be bitter. If I sound bitter, I apologize.
Right.
Because for my fraternal brothers in sound.
We are on with Jeff St. Pierre, that's WPOC, The Beat in Baltimore, the Major Tom at WPJJ, the Blaze
Major
in Chicago.
Major Tom, pardon me. Military career.
Yeah, no, he's at
VR. Couldn't shed it, man.
He's going to be missed.
I went in there and he's like, Backsack, you know.
Three tours and...
three tours and I suffered through all three, man. I felt like I was a nab.
Yeah. And then killed by a convertible sofa.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Johnny B, WOKY, The Jam in Milwaukee, Vezzy Parmesan, God rest his soul, the Hot 106. Johnny J.R. Edwards at WJMN and The Jam in Boston. And then, of course, Dr. Dave and Wild Bill, the WGD.
Mr. Cloud.
Yeah, but can I just, please, I have to ask.
No disrespect to
this isn't a...
It's The Jam.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'm not on.
It's all good.
I'm not on air.
It's all good, bro.
Yeah, the station list I just read off.
Yeah.
This is just a small sampling of the station. This is in a 4-month period.
That's 4 months.
There's 4 months. You've been on, I'm counting 11.
This is 120 days of a great career.
You're right. I just picked 11 stations. You've been on 127 stations.
I have, because there are so many that want to hire me.
But,
and what happens is, when a guy is on that many stations in 120 days, sure, that sounds short. And it sounds like maybe there's...
I think you average like 3.5 days per station.
There were a few where I had short tenures. But well, sometimes my okay, Mr. Cloud, you know, you're coming in hot, buddy.
Not a critique, but I understand. I wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't asking this question. You've been in the game for, what, 21 years?
More than that, 29 years.
29 years.
I've been to Guatemala for Feed the Children.
Understood. But in that time, you've been on 144 stations. This list here, this is just from February 2019 to June 2019. This is, I said 11. This is 12 stations.
You know who I blame this for?
Dr. Drew did Loveline. For 30-some-odd years. That was one station.
I respect, to the core of my being, Dr. Drew Pinsky. I've got to tell you something. To correct me, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I don't want you to get chippy, but I'm...
Well, look, man. Suddenly, experience is a no-no. I'm being victimized.
No, but you understand how I would worry that maybe you wouldn't make it past...
That was outrageous. You have no evidence that I won't make it years.
You've been on 12 stations in 4 months.
Well, actually a little bit less, to be honest. I'm an honest guy. That's why my listeners love me. There is some time in there for moving. You know, you don't go from Ocean City to Salinas in 2 hours. Got to take a couple of days off for that.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They had 12 stations, and
we could have done this on the phone, man. If you,
I didn't want to argue with you.
Well, I think,
but I feel like you're getting aggressive.
Well,
tonally.
I feel like I'm being attacked for being a radio legend, and I have to say that upsets me. I know Shotgun Tom Kelly. I'm the guy. If he lies about it, well, that is a liar.
Well, he didn't have glowing things. He did survive. He's the one survivor we were able to speak to about your career, and he didn't have great things to say about you. Now, I didn't want to go down that road.
It doesn't surprise
almost
me.
Everyone I checked on has died in some mysterious accident.
And I'm the higher power. I am the... I'm God.
No, listen. I understand you've been investigated by almost every... police force in each county you're in. But
that's payola, man. I plead guilty, man. I took a lot of...
All right, listen. I'm not a big true crime thing, but my wife does. And we realized that by the time the husband said his third wife drowned in the bathtub, that at some point you have to look at the husband.
It was the pool and it was Bill Shatner. Now, don't put that on me. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm going to tell you something straight out. Straight out. You're coming at me. You brought me in here. You promised me. You said it's a great air shift. You get, I think, 25.6 was the salary. Half dental. I wanted the lower teeth because I got problems down there. But I'm going to say something. I believe it's a millennial generation that has constructed this facade.
This facade.
The facade. The employment facade. The facade.
This may be the longest you've been at a radio station. This interview. And I'm sorry, but Shotgun Tom did not have glowing words praise for you.
Yeah. Can I tell you one thing? The next time you see your friend Shotgun Tom Kelly, the next time you see that guy, say, hey, Shotzi, which is what I called him, say, one question. Who gave you the idea for the shotgun, ranger hat? Who gave you that idea? If he doesn't say back sack...
He said that
or flash belt?
I asked him that. He said that was VZ Parmesan, and then VZ died.
Well, so you got to take my word for it.
Well, I certainly can't take VZ's word for it anymore.
And that sort of works out.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, listen.
Hey, man, look, I got to get my stuff together. I got to get my headphones.
Yeah.
And I got to get some air checks around.
You're wearing your headphones. I realize these air checks weren't air checks. That was the entire time on the air at each one of these stations.
Whoa.
I thought I was listening to an edited air check. I was listening to your entire reign at a station.
And you think I'm dubbed for that?
No. I'm saying I'm seeing a pattern emerge here.
Mr. Cloud.
Yes.
I detected from the moment I walked in here wearing my Z99.5 Indianapolis t-shirt that I got for lasted a week in middays.
that's your longest run.
And I thought, this guy, Cloud, is argumentative.
What?
I said, this guy is argumentative. And I knew it, and you brought it, and you're coming at me, coming at me, coming at me.
Yeah.
And I say, Uncle, Because I think my resume clearly shows there's probably 300 to 400 stations out there that would hire me tomorrow for 3 days.
Yeah. Back, Zach, I'm just going to just go ahead and call security here and ask
you security,
to.
Oh, security. Yeah, this is. Oh, really? You, really?
How is going to have you just sort of removed from the building.
Security? Yeah. I'm going to suffer the indignity of being dragged out by security.
Well, or you can just leave volitionally, but I just don't think it's going to work.
Why do you hate radio? And Legends of the Muscles.
What? These guys were friends of mine. I didn't know that there was a pattern.
You knew Tom Cuddy? Did you know Tom Cuddy?
Tom Cuddy was he was the best man at my third wedding. Now he's gone after the mattress fire.
Well, despite the disagreements that we've been through today, I want to extend my condolences because he was a good man.
Okay.
I feel very sad. I'm bipolar. And you swung me in a way that I don't think that swing's coming back in this direction for a week and a half. Damn it.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you a couple of tokens for the vending machine. You get yourself a Fresca.
You validate parking?
No, we don't. We don't. Huh. Okay, but I will.
Dude, I took a Segway over here.
Okay, I'll tell you if we get a.
This is not good. This is not good, and I feel offended, actually.
Okay.
Actually, I feel offended by the way I've been treated.
Mm.
And I think, Mr. Cloud, that if I went through your management history, there might be some folks willing to stand up and say, did not treat me as a human being.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't think you can go to HR when you haven't been hired. You have to be hired first before you can go to HR.
Hey, you might have me on a technicality. That might be right. In fact, I know that's right.
All right.
I tried that at WZOU in Boston, 94.5 The Zoo.
All right. See yourself to the door, please.
My great friend, Human Newman, worked there. His real name, Mylon Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, he's gone.
What?
He passed.
He was very heavy.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I always told him it's not acid reflux, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have slept. He was told to sleep with pillows under him in a sort of upright position.
You knew Mylon.
Oh, I knew. Yeah, of course. We worked together. Q101.
In Chicago's with Robert Murphy in the morning.
Yeah. He had bad reflux. He was a heavy guy. The doctor told him to sleep propped up. He was a side sleeper, and what got him.
I know, Mylon. I'm not ruling out autoerotic asphyxiation.
No, that's not what I'm talking. No,
well, that's what
about.
I'm hearing.
Okay.
I might be a negative guy, but you're bringing up the topics.
Okay.
You're telling me that the guy was back on like a Cirque du Soleil routine in his bedroom.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm way past my lunch now. I'm going to swing by the Panera. So
I got some trade out for Domino's if you want to come to lunch with me.
No, I think we're good. I'm going low carb.
This has been very proactive. I am going to call you tomorrow, and we can continue, because I think if I come on the weekend and knock out a couple hours on overnights, you will have your mind changed.
Yeah, okay. Well, just go ahead.
What sounds good? Sunday morning, 2 to 4?
Why don't you be caller 101?
What do I win?
You get to talk to me.
Awesome.
All right.
I'll be on the blower in about 7 hours from now.
Okay. Thanks for
checking in. Thanks,
hot
Mr. Cloud.
Hot phones.
You're hot. Right. You're hot.
All right. Hot phones.
Hot phones. He told Boogie. I didn't make it up, man. Okay, he said, you have hot phones. I was flabbergasted.
All right. Just go ahead and see yourself out.
Where's the door?
It's the one you use, the same one.
It's a problem with my career.
The same one you use when you.
But you know what? I'm going to leave you with this because I'm inspiring.
All right.
You got to walk out one for another to open.
Right.
So I say, I'm on my merry way, go down my path.
Okay. Well, just wait for that elevator door to open. And scene.
Oh my God.
I like that it took a turn for the macabre.
Yeah.
It's killing everyone. Everybody
worked with.
I didn't anticipate that.
I did not either. Yeah, I just decided the first guy should be dead, and then they should all be dead.
By the way, I used to follow Jim McGinnis on my 103.7 The Planet, the home of the Perfect 10 songs in a row, and Dawson's Drive-Thru every weeknight at 10 p.m. JM and the PM on your FM, alive and well.
He went to the...
He's dead.
Now I'm doing Backsack as Brian, which is revealing. McGinnis went to the Planet after they fired him at KGB.
Oh, no.
But he did the A to Z's, rock and roll A to Z, an artist, AC/DC, all the way to Zeppelin. His hat.
It's, you know, this is going to be one of those things, going to be like saddle repair. Like, eventually, nobody will know how to do it. It'll just be a bygone. It'll be like typewriter repair. No one will be able to. do this, this is, craft this of is DJing Yiddish. Anymore.
If you look at
dead
the
language.
Sanskrit, the survey, the surveys that come out that they list like the best field to get into for people, for young people, disc jockey is always at the very end.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, it's at the very end.
All right, this is Adam Carolla Show, 2736 with Brian Whitman from January of 2020. That does it for today's Carolla Classics. Make sure to subscribe to the Carolla Classics feed. We have a whole new episode for you tomorrow, and there will be a bonus episode airing Monday in this feed as well for Memorial Day. Until then, mahalo and get it on.